Iowa politics for Friday, June 5th, 2015. This week, the long-anticipated adjournment of the Iowa legislature, Senator Ernst's first roast and ride and a slow week on the campaign trail. Hi, I'm James Lynch of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. With me today are Christina Crippas of the Waterloo Courier. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, James.
Ed Tibbetts of the Quad City Times. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, James.
Aaron Murphy, Lee Newspaper State House Bureau Chief. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning, Jim.
And Gazette columnist Todd Dorman. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
You can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to On Iowa Politics on iTunes and Stitcher. First up this morning, adjournment, perhaps. As we record this, the Iowa legislature is still meeting, trying to pull together a few last bills and complete their budget work. Yesterday was a long day of bits of action followed by long delays. Aaron and I agreed it was a bit like a baseball game with a rain delay, except there wasn't any beer or brats. But after 145 days, and keeping with that baseball analogy, that's 45 days of extra innings, lawmakers are finally wrapping up a session which no one wants to mention their signature accomplishment, raising the gas tax. Aaron, would it be fair to sum up the session by saying House Republicans were happy with not getting much done, Senate Republicans thought too much got done, and Democrats in both chambers were disappointed that more didn't get done?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair and succinct synopsis. In fact, I wish the session had been that succinct. Certainly wish yesterday had been that succinct. You know, it was an interesting session in that there were very few laws passed that legislators from either party are going to go back to their districts and celebrate. Like you said, the signature legislation, I think it's safe to suggest, was the gas tax increase, and I can't imagine too many lawmakers are heading back home banging that drum. But I think ultimately the session will be remembered most for that, for the gas tax increase, and then another knockdown, drag-out fight over school funding. And those aren't exactly chest-thumping achievements. And the better news is we get to do the school funding thing all over again next year because they couldn't agree on funding for the 2016-2017 year, as some of them hoped. So, but, you know, you look at the other items like anti-bullying legislation, fireworks, expanding the medical marijuana program so someone can actually use it, bills addressing domestic abuse, eminent domain, synthetic drugs, none of those got done. So it was an interesting session from that perspective. It really was dominated by those two big issues, the school funding and the gas tax.
I'm curious whether anybody is hearing, in your communities, people talking about the legislature and whether people think they're getting the job done, or are people just sort of resigned to disappointment when the legislature is in session?
I guess disappointment.
Go ahead, Christina.
I think I hear disappointment, and I mean, I agree with what Aaron said. I mean, I think pretty much all I hear people talk about is that school funding issue, and when you see people not reaching an agreement on that for you know, days and, you know, months past when they're supposed to get it done, I think it's just becoming a trend that people are seeing that and they just expect it anymore is what I see here.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of surprising. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, the matter of sort of the law that says that they have to get school funding done a year ahead of time or more than a year ahead of time. I think, you know, some of us maybe think that's kind of inside baseball, but I'm amazed at how many people sort of out there know that law and understand that the legislature has broken it and they're disappointed and sort of, you know, the whole thing that they have to follow laws, the legislature's not following the laws. I think that's resonated, whether they agree on how much should be spent. I think they are disappointed that the legislature is sort of not playing by the rules. I've heard that from a lot of people.
Well, I was just going to say, and I think that's a good point, Todd. People want to know that the people that make their laws follow them as well, and it doesn't matter how picayune the issue might be, and in this case, it's not. They want to see that they're following the law. It strikes me that what was said earlier was right on point. The thing they'll be remembered for this session will be raising gas taxes, and whether they talk about it or not, people will remember it.
Well, go ahead, James.
Go ahead, Todd.
Okay, I was just going to say, it seems like they had to spend, you know, every session you've sort of got this political capital, then in a divided legislature, you have to spend some of that to sort of get compromises made. It seems like they spent all of that on the gas tax, and then when it came to everything else, they weren't willing to go out on a limb anymore and sort of take those tough steps that they might have to spend some of that political capital on. It was sort of like a meal that they ate all the, you know, bread and salad early, and then by the time the entree came there, they didn't have any appetite anymore.
Well, and it also, the issue of not following the law seems to kind of feed into something Aaron and I have been talking a little bit about, is that the leaders every year at the beginning and the end of the session, when they give their speeches, talk about how we're not like Washington, you know, we get things done. But more and more, it does seem like Washington, that they can't agree on things. And it seems this session where they've gone 45 days past their schedule adjournment trying to accomplish what basically was their agreement 45 days ago. I mean, they haven't moved. They haven't been able to improve the deal from 45 days ago. And now they're not following the law. I think it just feeds into sort of that whole sense that they are just like Washington. They, you know, they can't get anything done. They don't follow their own rules. And it's, you know, I think people see that and they have less respect for the legislature and probably less hope of getting anything done to help Iowa. So one of the interesting things, Aaron had sort of a revelation the other day, or an epiphany, when and Todd, I want to ask you about this, since you've been here through the end of the session a number of times. Aaron was remarking on the irony that House Democrats and Senate Republicans vote no on all the budget deals struck by House Republicans and Senate Democrats. The minority caucus in each chamber is voting no against the deal that their party members struck in the other chamber. How do you explain that?
Well, I mean, there's probably multiple reasons. In some instances, you've got kind of personal political considerations for individual members. They don't want to vote one way or the other on a budget deal for individual reasons. But I mean, also, I think there's a certain amount of chafing, and with good reason, from rank and file members at the whole process. You know, they get elected to the legislature to come down here and supposedly do a budget and do policy, and then it all gets settled behind the scenes, and the deals get sort of dropped on their desk. And I think for some of them, it's, you know, they don't like that process, and they're not willing to ratify those deals that they didn't have any hand in negotiating. And frankly, if I was a legislator, I might feel the same way.
Well, we'll look forward to that, Todd.
I will not run, nor will I accept nomination.
it's been a slow week on the campaign trail here in Iowa. After last weekend, when Margo Malley and Bernie Sanders are planting their flags in Iowa, I guess Lindsey Graham and Rick Perry announced they're running for president, and Jeb Bush this week announced he's going to announce something. Donald Trump made a couple appearances in the state. And Christine, you covered a surrogate that, as you described it, delivered a message that was part sermon, part political rally, and part history lesson. Tell us about this.
Okay, so Rafael Cruz is the father of presidential candidate Ted Cruz, and he was in town this Wednesday delivering a message that really was more about getting Christians, perhaps people with more of a biblical view. I mean, I think much of the country identifies as Christian when they're out voting or when they're out in public. So, but he was trying to get, like, those with a biblical worldview to get out and get interested in politics. And he actually kind of made, like, a biblical case for that, pointing to passages in the Bible that would suggest that a preacher's role isn't just at the pulpit, but also out in the public and you know, bringing issues to the forefront. So The interesting thing I thought about him was that it really was more on that topic. He didn't mention Ted Cruz once. I mean, he talked about raising children, but he didn't talk about him in the sense that, oh, it just happens that Ted Cruz's beliefs align with what I'm telling you. It was really more general.
That's interesting. But were the people there pretty much the same people who showed up when Ted Cruz was in town a month or so ago?
I think it was an audience that had similar interests. I didn't see an exact overlap. I think it was, from what I could tell, I got the impression that these were more people who were more interested in church life than political life. And I think at the last event, it seemed more people who were interested in helping pick the next president than people who, and, you know, I'm sure that they still show up in the pews on Sundays, but these seemed more like people who were involved in their church life. You know, there were a lot more amens and nodding than there were, you know, the rallying cheers and things like that.
Okay. One of the other developments this week was the Run Warren Run draft campaign, I guess called it quits or suspended its efforts to draft the Massachusetts senator. Is this what we expected to happen all along, or does this have more significance than that?
Well, I think fairly early on, Elizabeth Warren made it clear she wasn't going to run for president. But the group persisted, and actually, you know, there's another group, Run Warren Run, that's still active. But with Warren making no moves to run, stating definitively she's not going to run, this was probably inevitable. And, you know, as we know in Iowa, there's already candidates who are talking about income inequality, talking trash about big banks and Wall Street. So while it's not Warren that's running, her ideas are certainly in play, and that's probably got to be somewhat satisfying to these groups.
Do you suspect that Bernie Sanders will get their support, or will they not endorse anybody give anybody the same sort of support that they were willing to give Elizabeth Warren?
Well, as for the individuals in the organization, I don't know, but the people who would be most likely attracted to a Warren run and to the efforts of this group, I think Bernie Sanders so far is probably winning their support the most in Iowa. But he and Martin O'Malley are both going to try to vie for that wing of the party, the wing that doesn't believe that Hillary Clinton is progressive enough, or they want to see another new name come to the fore. But as I say, so far in a couple of polls this month, it's Sanders that's emerged as the main non-Hillary candidate, even though it's worth noting he still trails by some, you know, by 40-some points.
Right. And that brings us to Senator Joni Ernst's first roast and ride, which will be this Saturday, starting with at a Des Moines Harley-Davidson shop with a ride to Boone where the Nadas will perform, along with seven GOP presidential candidates or likely candidates who will speak there. Aaron, motorcycles, grilled meat, political red meat, sounds like the Harkin steak fine.
Yeah, you know, that's the question. Is this going to be the GOP equivalent of the Harkin steak fry? And I don't know if that's something we can answer right away, even after this weekend's event. I think that's kind of more of a long-term question, but that's certainly how it shapes up, I suppose.
It's got a pretty good lineup. Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, Lindsey Graham, Mike Huckabee, Rick Perry, Marco Rubio, and Scott Walker. Christine Walker is leading the field in Iowa, and Rubio and Huckabee are both in double digits. Is this going to be a significant event on the campaign trail?
I think it will be. I mean, I think that, you know, especially, I guess, as there are questions about how significant the straw poll will be in a couple months, you know, this will be a good chance for some people to get their first kind of big rally experience with some of these people. And, you know, I guess for a lot of them, I think that they, you know, supported Ernst in her bid for the U.S. Senate. So, you know, I think they aren't strangers here nor strangers to Ernst. So it could be a good event for them.
Todd, that brings up a good point. I mean, people are calling this the replacement to the park and steak fry, but is it more likely to be the replacement to the straw poll?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's well, it's at the same place, I guess. So that's one thing. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting event as we watch it evolve. I mean, with the caucus cycle, it's obviously going to draw a lot of candidates. It'll be interesting to see after the caucuses and beyond if it can draw sort of the star power that the Harkin event drew. I suspect it will, because I think Joni Ernst is going to have a fairly prominent place within the Republican stratosphere just because of Iowa's place. And, I mean, I think that's what Harkin cashed in on. So I see her probably being able to replicate that on the other side of the aisle.
And I think it's worth mentioning, Ed, that Senator Tom Cotton, a freshman senator, whose letter to Iran touched off quite a brouhaha in the Senate. He's also on the speaker's list at the Roast and Ride. Should we take this as the start of a 2024 presidential campaign?
It's never too early, right? you know, who knows? Look, you know, this is a nice fit. These kinds of red meat events are great for activists and for speakers to take aim at the other side of the political aisle. And who better than Cotton? You know, he may have been scorned in the media and criticized by the Obama administration for writing that letter, but I doubt you're going to find anybody at Roast and Ride who will do anything but applaud him for it. So, yeah, great fit. And if he sometime down the road thinks he's of presidential timber, you know, he can say he'll have been to Iowa early.
All right. You heard it here first on this edition of On Iowa Politics. I hope it was worth your time. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Fan mail may be sent to oniowapolitics@gmail.com. You can find us every week on the homepages of the Quad City Times, Sioux City Journal, Muscatine Journal, Mason City Globe Gazette, Waterloo Courier, and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Porch Builder, a country band from Riverside, will take us out. If you know a band or a talented Iowa musician who should be on our show, send us a sound file, and remember to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to iTunes and Stitcher. For Christina, Ed, Aaron, Todd, and our producer, Claire, I'm James Lynch. Thanks for listening. Mississippi Queen.